You know, a lot of stuff's going on right now. A lot of people feel like they're maybe things haven't come out, transpired like they wanted them to transpire. And, you know, if we're not careful, sometimes it'll happen to us, won't it? And there's some individuals here in Luke 24 that you already know where I'm going with it probably, but they thought something was going to happen when it didn't happen. They thought Jesus was going to come, rule, and reign, and it didn't happen. They actually crucified their Lord. And they were a little bit discouraged. They were a little, didn't know what was going on. And I titled the message, Unfulfilled Promises. And you know, you and I have, if we're not careful, as we sang tonight, standing on the promises, our promises, they need to be in the Word of God and not upon any man or in any man or any institution. Now, we think about this, and let's go to verse 13 here, if you will. And Luke 24, 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus," which was about from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He said unto them, What manner of communications are those that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He said unto them, What things? He said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Notice verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre when they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which had said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even so as a woman had said, but they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and had to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now again, this portion of scripture is very interesting as you think about it. These two are on their road, and on the way they were devastated. They were heartbroken, weren't they? They were just hurting because of their Savior. Now, notice how they label Jesus. They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He was supposed to be. He was a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God. He was supposed to be, basically. They missed a lot of the point of who Jesus was, didn't they? They missed a lot of that. And Jesus rebukes them, calls them fools, slow of heart, and slow to believe all that was written of Jesus. And you think about these men, their promises went unfulfilled, if you will, in their own heart. They thought Jesus was to rule and reign. We know that. Jesus came the first time as a suffering lamb. He's coming a second time, I believe very, very soon, by the way, as a reigning lion. Okay? He will take care of business and he will take charge, and he will put those beings, those powers, prince power of the air, in place. And praise God, we will be with him to rule and reign. Now during this time, as we think about it, these men were, it was a tremendous unrest. Jerusalem was in an uproar, you know that. There were people coming, there was gossip around the city in that early morning saying his body was not there. There's problems happening. We don't know what happened. Did the Romans take his body and hide it? Did someone steal his body? All those things. Or did he really fulfill what he said and rise the third day? You know, all of that. There's a lot of turmoil going on. Besides that, you know, later in the book of Acts, in the beginning chapters of Acts, all that believed were hiding in that upper room. They were scared of if they were caught together, they would have been put into prison or arrested or beaten. And ultimately, they could have been crucified themselves. So there's a lot of fear in all of this. I think about America tonight, don't you? America's in an uproar. America's at an unrest. We're in a stage, a crossroads, a fork in the road, if you will, and we don't know what to do. We think about tonight, a lot of people put their faith and trust in our current president, and there are a lot of people on the flip side are putting their faith and trust into the president-elect coming in. And very foolish to do so, we know that. But you think about it, and so many people put their trust, their promises, everything into worldly things or figures or people. We got to put it in the Word of God. Now notice a couple things here. Jesus directly points them to what? To the Scriptures, doesn't he? He says, verse 25, you slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. And he goes on, and at the beginning, verse 27, and Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them scriptures concerning himself. Now, if you don't know what that means from Genesis to basically Malachi, we used to call him, Malachi. That's what he's saying. He expounded. I can't imagine what Jesus did with those fellas, can you? Oh, I hope someday the Lord will play back, will rewind history and let us see some of these things. Wouldn't that be exciting? Because I'd love to see this. I mean, he must have gone to just maybe one verse per book of the Old Testament, pointing to him as being the coming Messiah. I don't know what it was, but I think about that. Boy, these men, you know, they must have felt about this big. You and I don't have to be foolish. We don't have to rely. We don't have to be duped. We don't have to come at the end and say, oh, I didn't know. I didn't expect that. No, we have all that we need. And that's what Jesus is saying to these individuals. You have all you need. You had it for hundreds, yea, thousand years. You had the word. You had what you needed. Oh, one of the greatest tragedies in life is unfulfilled promises. We put so much hope, investment into something, never comes to fruition. I think about parents maybe that have you... Only you have raised adult children in here, but that children grow up and maybe don't fulfill what you had hoped or something of that nature. People that had you invested into some friend or into something and some inanimate object. I don't know what it is for you. You invested into it only to see it. I saw one guy, he's got a vehicle. I think it's on social media, but it's a classic Mustang, beautiful. And he has a picture of it. And then you click on it, and he shows the other side, the driver's side of it, and it's been T-boned. It's been smashed in. And he puts in the descriptions some foul language, but he said, some ding-dong, I'll put it that way, ran a red light and T-boned me. And he says, so I'm parting out this car. Call me if you want to buy any of the parts off it. I thought about that. You know, how much time did he invest in that car? How much money did he put into it? Only for that to happen. And you think about, people have so many things that they put invest into. I don't know what it is for you. Be careful about that. Know that one thing will stand eternity. That's the word of God. That's the promises of the word of God. I think about several examples. I found a couple of these. Maybe you've heard of these people. There's a man by the name of Len Bias. And Len Bias was the second overall pick in the 1986 NBA draft by the Celtics. He was the most popular high school basketball player in all of America in 1986. He was tall, he was strong, he had everything. He was the top pick. He just signed multi-million dollar contract. And after the day he was drafted, guaranteed money, he died 2 days later of a drug overdose. Accidental drug overdose. You think about an unfulfilled promise, right? The whole, you can imagine, the NBA, the team. Not only that, his family, friends. What a waste. What an absolute waste. What a waste. You think about. I found another one, a guy by the name of Ben Wilson. He was a number one high school player in 1984. Number one. And he got into an argument and was shot to death at the age of 17, right as he was about to enter the NBA, shot to death. I mean, just again, some of these I found, they're just examples of unfulfilled promises. I don't know what it would be for you. I use some of these generic examples here, but you may have had some promise, a marriage, a friendship. I don't know. Can I encourage you tonight? Now, a couple things here. We think about, we're assured today, we're assured these promises of the Word of God will come true. Now, you recall back, Jesus on several occasions, not just once or twice, 3-4 times, he says to the apostles and to the church, the group of people there, okay, we could constitute kind of as the church. He said, now listen, I'm going to go, they're going to arrest me, okay, and they're going to lead me, they're going to take me, they're going to crucify me, and then I'm going to rise again the third day. What'd they say? The apostles especially. Whoa, that won't happen, will it? That won't happen. And at one point, Peter says out, hey, if they try that, man, we'll let them have it, Lord. And what's Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, you adversary. You don't covet. You don't search the things of God. You're only self-centered. And you think about some of this. They failed to hear. Now, number one, I have the blindness of the fulfillment, the blindness to it. Jesus says, what thing? What thing? I like how Jesus deals with people. And this is how Jesus deals with me. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's that kind of, you know, oh, what thing? Oh, meaning, why don't you search it out, Tim, for yourself? Oh, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it. It's never going to work. And Jesus is going, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. Heard that before. Why don't you search it out? How come you don't know that? How come you don't know that? The blindness of the fulfillment. Now, comes to this, ignorance of the word of God, you know, ignorance. This was clearly laid out all the way we go back, Genesis 3, it was stated. We know the place of birth was given, Micah 5:2. We know it was fulfilled in Matthew 2:1, first mention of it. Isaiah 7:14, born of a virgin, fulfilled. New Testament. His rejection by the Jews, Isaiah 53, verse 3. His triumphant entry in Zechariah 9:9, fulfilled in John 12:13. Sold for 30 pieces of silver, fulfilled in Matthew. Can you imagine these verses Jesus is taking them through? Verse by verse, verse by verse. 30 pieces of silver. Psalm 22, hands and feet would be pierced. Soldiers would cast lots for his garment. His side would be pierced, Zechariah 12:10. We go on and on. And Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They testify of me. We ought to tonight be searching the scriptures. Do you have unrest? Maybe a little bit of unrest in your heart? I don't know what's going to happen. We all have that. You ought to be searching the scriptures. Lord, help me settle. The greatest thing in your life that'll settle your heart, your soul, will be the Word of God. The Word of God. It ought to challenge you and change you. We know that. The ignorance to God's Word. I won't belabor that point. Secondly, though, belief in man's Word. No, notice verse 22. They're explaining this to Jesus. And yea, meaning, and also certain women of our company. You know who that is. Made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying, they'd also seen a vision of angels, which said, now listen to all that. They believed man's Word over God's Word, didn't they? Oh, they said, Mary said, the ladies said, this and that. Isn't that like us as Christians? We quickly believe man's word over God's word. A lot of people are confused. What's going to happen? I've heard a lot of people just in the last couple of days talk about prophecy. We got to be careful about prophecy. Again, you know that. But prophecy of what's happening, what's going to happen in the days ahead. Be careful, because we listen to man's word. If it doesn't match up with the Bible, we got to be very careful, search it for ourselves. Often believe more in man's word than God's word, ignorant of God's word. A certain woman, verse 22, they said, verse 23, verse 24, and certain of them, notice that, they were trusting not in God's promises, but in hearsay. Hearsay. You ever played that game, what's it called, telephone or whatever it is, where you whisper something to a friend, he whispers it and it goes down the line. By the time it gets to the last person, it's completely jumbled. It's, you know, off, completely whacked out. You don't even know what it means. And you think about that so often, hearsay. Are you listening to hearsay? Turn off Fox News and turn off the CNN and turn off all those other things if you need to and get in the Word of God. Get off your phone and get in the Word of God. That's to me personally. Turn that TV off and turn those things off. Get in the Word of God. We have so much unrest tonight. Blindness to the fulfillment. Belief in man's Word. I think we ought to be reading books, and I think we ought to be doing hobbies, and I think we ought to be busy at work and working hard, but also, you know, we ought to prioritize the Word of God, even as children, right? Right? Even as adults, especially. We know that. Beckoning, number two, the beckoning to the fulfillment. Not only the blindness, but the beckoning. He says, verse 25, as we read, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? To enter into his glory? Ought not he have to do this? And Jesus is basically, he says he's beckoning to the fulfillment. He rebukes their unbelief. As you know, Matthew 11, he calls them out. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Why? Take my yoke. I want to lead and direct you. We've been through that before. Oh, fools, he says. He's saying you're foolish, unbelieving. And by the way, when you close this book and live your life the way you want to or you think you should, Proverbs talks about that. A man's ways, his own ways, what, are foolish. We ought to desire and pray for and seek the sincere milk of the Word of God. What does it do to us? It makes us grow thereby. When you study the Bible and read that, you always grow. You always grow. You always grow. That's a promise. When you take time in the Bible, well, I don't got time, but I should. I'll just read it, I guess. That was a waste of time. No, it wasn't. If you're a child of God, it's not a waste. It always produces growth in your life when you spend time in the Bible. Always. He rebukes their unbelief. He says, you're slow of heart. You have no spiritual discernment. You have no scriptural understanding. None of it. And we think about this, beckoning to the fulfillment, those that are fearful tonight, those that are fearful and scared and trepidatious. They maybe are not in their Bibles like they should be. Those that are in the Word, they know what's happening. You've been around those types. You've been around those people, negative, depressed Christians, naysayers, pessimistic. When you spend time in the Scripture, you know the Bible, you are positive, you're encouraged. Let me say the reminder of the promise. The reminder of the promises. He expounds to them throughout the Scriptures, and notice they still didn't get it. Verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Look at your Bibles there. Notice this. And he made as though he would have gone further. He kept walking. They said, hey, hang on a second. Stop. Come with us. Come inside. They constrained him. Abide with us, for it is toward evening. It's about to get dark here. Why don't you come on in? And the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And they said, we've seen that before. Hang on. Whoa. Hang on. Who are you? Who are you? And verse 31, their eyes were open. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. The reminder of the promise. He vanished out of their sight. As he expounded the scripture to them, they still didn't get it. We know that. But he reminded them starting at the beginning. He reminded them in all the scriptures. In all. Do you know Christ is present in every single book of the Bible? Every book. You go through and study the Bible, you're going to find Christ. Jesus Christ is present in every single book of the Bible. And this is what Jesus talked about in John. I was with you when? From the beginning. Before the beginning. What I had with you in John 17, he says to the Father, Lord, help us. And thinking about all of that, he presents to them their belief, thirdly, in the fulfillment. Belief. He made as though he would gone farther. And we think about this. He took the bread. I can't imagine what was going on. I can't imagine the situation particularly, but I don't know. I do believe that as he broke bread, they obviously looked and said, we've seen that. I don't know if they looked and maybe saw the scars. I don't know. Can you imagine him breaking the bread and handing it out and them seeing that, going just astonished, just amazed. I truly believe that when Jesus Christ returns, hundreds of thousands of Christians are going to be just like that. Confused, don't know what's going on. Don't know what's going on. Why? Because this book is shut at home. It's shut. It's just shut. The kids don't know the Bible. The parents hardly open the book. When's the last time? And preaching here to myself, we've sat down, read the Bible together. When's the last time we, as a married couple, sat down, read the Bible together, studied the Bible? We need to know the Bible. But notice he says the fulfillment, belief in the fulfillment. When he had given thanks. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul states it here in verse 24. He says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. When he communed with them, they knew him. They were reminded of that. It's a wonderful picture. We think about this. Now, their eyes were open, they knew him. Verse 31. As you study the scriptures, you're looking for the promises that will come. You know it. Their eyes were open. I've said it before, but the greatest changer, agent of change, thing that will affect you and change you in this life is the Word of God. The one thing that'll change your life. You know that. And so we think about the Bible's clear. Their eyes were open. Notice they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, plural, the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They explained the scripture. Can you imagine this? The apostles, they just had the women come back in the morning and tell them what was going on. And they're going, now these guys are coming in. Hey, we were just walking down the road and we stopped for, it was evening time. You know, all these things were happening and he appeared to us. As you think about here tonight, we need to understand that God is in the business of fulfilling the promises. The next event on his timetable, we believe this, is his return. He's going to take us home. He's going to come. We believe it, truly. He's going to fulfill it. I believe it, and I know you do as well. But if we're not careful in the days while we wait, our faith can wane, it can get weary, we can get tired, we can get frustrated. We can just get off course. We can get to the point where we throw in the towel. We think about some of these things that we go through on a daily basis. We read through it. We trust him. Let me jump ahead here. As we see here, the revealing. God wants to reveal himself to you today. He wants to reveal his sweet promises, his precious promises, as Peter puts it. But you must be aware of his words. He says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, and the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Truly the word, it brings light. You know that. His words. The revelation of that. The revelation of those things. And we see here, secondly, the demonstration. It's not a sensational, mystical demonstration. Christ says, what? Handle me. Now we see here, let's continue. Verse 36, and As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? They still didn't believe. He gave them a piece of boiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took and did eat before them. You think about it, he says, handle me. The revelation of God. God desires for us to know him. You know that, to know him. We now know him as adults. You and I have a responsibility to help our kids know him, don't we? I'm not preaching anything. You folks already know all of this. Many of you do, but we have a responsibility now to help our kids, grandkids, those are behind it, know him, right? Know him. Jesus demonstrates this. He says, handle me. I like that. It's I myself. Handle me. Do you know him? Do you believe today what he said in his word, the promises that are true? It's not mysticals, not fables. Peter says, they say we're speaking fables. They say we're speaking lies, fairy tales unto you. 2 Peter 1, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter later would say several times that they were eyewitnesses to Jesus. I was eyewitnesses. Peter says, I was with them in the mount. Eyewitnesses. I was an eyewitness. I literally saw what happened. You're in any kind of situation, they're going to look for a car accident, anything, they're going to look for eyewitnesses. We drove by yesterday on 66 over here, and there was a car accident. Someone ran right into the side of another person, and there were people there. You see, the cops were standing on the side writing down things, information from the guy standing next to him. I saw he was an eyewitness. You know, they want to look for the people that were there and eyewitnesses. And let me say something to the validity of the Word of God, that we have the Bible written, holy men of God, but they were eyewitnesses. These were not hearsay, shot in the dark people. The two on the road did not write the Bible. Peter, James, John, these men, they eyewitnesses. We have a Bible that's sure and true. Now, we take the promises of God. Maybe for you, you have promises that were unfulfilled. You have somebody that hurt you, said they'd be there, said they'd help you, said they'd pick you up, said they'd be there for you, never came through. You maybe had a parent, a grandparent, a loved one, never came through, right? We have a Savior tonight that said, I will. I go to prepare a place for you. I will. So we see here. Now, lastly, let's go over there to John 14. John 14, I want you to see here, as you know these scriptures. But Jesus makes a great promise to us. John 14, and he says this, let not your heart be troubled. Troubled, that's where we are tonight. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, right, unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Notice what he says, though. I have told you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. It is true. I told you. And Jesus is not hiding anything from us. Nothing. He's not keeping back any information from us. He's given us everything we need, hasn't he? Everything. He's revealed himself to us. And as he stood and rebuked those two men, or those two individuals, on that road that night, that evening, you think about it. He was frustrated, that's not the Lord, but he was in that way of a rebuking way, saying, you don't know the Bible. Shame on you. You don't know the Scripture. You don't know the Word of God. You ought to be knowing, finishing, understanding, reading, do whatever you need to do. Prioritize the Word. There's the revealing of the Word. There's a demonstration of the truth, Peter says, we've not followed these fables. No, but they were truth. Eyewitnesses. We think about it. It is finished, he says on the cross. It's finished. It's done. I've done the work. Today we rely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. His promise and his promises have never been unfulfilled. His future promises will not go unfulfilled. What he said he would do, he did. What he said he will do, he will do. What he said he'll do, he'll do. He will do it. And we have a lot of people today that don't believe that. He will do it. But he says, if I go away, if it were not so, I would have told you. I would have let you know. If it's going to happen, you don't have to be surprised or caught off guard tonight. You know the Bible. You know the Word. You have it. You have a fulfilled promise tonight. Hey, let the world be discombobulated, confused, and unrest and not know what's going on. May we as Christians know what's going on. May we as Christians understand what's happening and taking place and what's going on in our lives and in our church and in our families, in our marriage, in our kids. We got to know what's happening and going on, right? Knowing that. There's no need for us to be in a cloud. Jesus said, how dare you not know the scripture of what's happening? What's happened? Did you know, as you read through the gospel accounts here by concluding statements here, not many people, if any, knew what was going on, did they? And we hardly read of anybody, if anybody, that knew what was going on during the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, did we? Nobody. They were all confused. I mean, the women come to the sepulcher, are completely shocked. And what do they say? Did you take his body somewhere? Tell us where you took it and we'll get it. The disciples, when they hear the news, that can't be. No, they stole the body. The two on the road to Emmaus. Wow, you don't know what's going on here? You didn't hear what happened in the last day or two of what was happening? You don't know what's going on either? Yeah, we thought he was we thought he was a Messiah. We thought he would rule and reign. He didn't. Nobody did. Sad indictment upon believers, isn't it? And today we have churches and Christians, so-called believers, that are just the same. Just the same. They think, well, those promises are unfulfilled. We'll never see the end. It'll never happen. I don't know what's happening now. Those of us that know the Bible, though, we say, we know what's going on. We know what's happening. We know we're not following cunningly devised fables, but we're eyewitnesses of his power and coming, eyewitnesses of his majesty. Oh, we know it today. Not as those people all across the world tonight. People have broken dreams. Broken dreams. We ministered out for several years in Southern California. You could drive down Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood Boulevard, and you see just lined up on the sidewalk, tent after tent after tent of people. And these were not homeless people. These were young kids, 16, 17, 18, 19, into their 20s, that had left some tiny town in Nebraska or Kansas, Minnesota, and come to Hollywood thinking they're going to make it big. And now they were sitting on the sidewalk waiting for their opportunity to play, get maybe act or sing a song or do something in front of some big shot producer at one of the big places. And how many of those made it? I mean, thousands of them. How many? Maybe two of them? I mean, out of 10,000, I mean, they're all over. Unfulfilled promises, dejected. You know what the average, probably, I dare to say 90% of those kids end up after they realize they're no way near as talented as they thought they were, and they have no shot. You know what happens to them? I dare to say 90% of them fall into drugs and end up on the streets and end up probably a lot of them overdosing and having all kinds of issues, ending their lives. Coming back to unfulfilled promises. They're just unfulfilled. And they're looking at man and they're saying, the world has to give me something and I've got to fulfill some kind of dream and goal and promise. Why don't you throw all that out the window and say, hey, I want to know what God wants me to do. Yeah, but you won't be famous, rich, and well-known. I don't care. I want to know what God wants me to do. You're not going to lead a giant big church. You're not going to do anything special. I don't care. I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to know what God has for my kids. And I want them, the best and most safest and protected and fulfilling place for my children right now is in the perfect will of God. And I want to know what that is. And I want to know. And the only way I know that is by spending time in the Word. And when Jesus returns, I pray he doesn't say, hey, did you know what was going on? No. What do you mean? You didn't hear about what happened the last couple of days? How they took our Savior and crucified him and now we don't know what to do? No. We know what's going on. And Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in. Enter in. I pray tonight that you have some fulfilled promises on this earth, but I also hope, more importantly, that you're looking forward to the promises of the Word of God and saying, not in confusion, doubt, and fear, discombobulated, cloudy. No, you know clearly what God has for you and for your life, for your family. And you know what's coming. You know what God is doing. You know He's still on the throne. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whithersoever He will. And we know that tonight. The fulfilled promises of God. Trust in Him. It comes back to, though, spending time knowing the Bible, knowing the God of the Bible, like these men should have known, right? Amen? I'd encourage you with that this week. Take time and don't skip out on your Bible reading this week. Take time in your prayer. I know it's hard. I know you folks are busy. Don't waste it. Don't waste time. Take time in it. Push yourself. Push yourself. Push yourself to enhance your spirituality. Push yourself in the regards to spiritual matters. You may be tired, weary, you may not feel good, you may not have a very good attitude at the time. Push yourself in spiritual things of reading, memorizing, and prayer. I guarantee it's going to help you. Every time you spend time, 1 second in the Word of God, 1 minute, all you see is growth. You're going to see growth. It's always forward. It's always forward. We need that more. Not only in our church families, we need it around us. We need to reach other people with these precious promises, encouraging people. And they ought to see that difference in your life at work, around friends, family. They ought to see that. Positivity. What do you have so happy? Why are you so happy? Why you got all that? Oh, because I know the promises of God. I know what's coming. I know what He has for me. Amen. All right. Hope that was a help to you. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. And I hope you have a good week. And God be with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you again. Pray your hand be upon our church. And thank you for these folks being so faithful, as I say each week. But I pray for your help, Lord, as we think about a lot of unrest here in America, especially, and around the world, Lord. People disappointed. People maybe not expecting some things that have transpired. But we're trusting you. Our faith is not in a man. Our faith is not in a country. Our faith is in you, Father. And we trust you. We're so blessed to live in this country, Lord. And we are so, so grateful to you for that. But Lord, I pray your hand be upon our country. Lead us in the days ahead. Help us as believers to take a stand, Lord, as we've sang tonight, standing on those promises. And so many have unfulfilled promises, Lord. We have promises we know are coming. But we also have promises of the Bible right now that will and can be fulfilled in our lives if we'll obey your word. Bless our children. Keep your hand and hedge about them. Our families, bless our marriages, Father. Keep them and watch them. Be with our mothers, fathers, and grandfathers. Grandmothers, Lord, we do pray you'd be with us now. Guide us now in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless.